The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, there's limited staff, and because I just came out of a cesarean, they helped me. But after that, they told my husband, they're like, you're pretty much on your own. Like, when there's a tsevadon, when there's a siren, you have to take her out yourself. We don't have enough people to help you wheel her out. So my husband had to take me out throughout the night. I would say maybe 7 rockets in our area, like that we had to go out of the room. He would have to take out my IV, take it off of the hook, and unplug the bed and move everything so that I get out. At one point, I just told him, I was like, just leave everything unplugged, give me my IV, I'll hold it, and that's it. Like, I'm not gonna keep on plugging it in and having to like unplug it every time.
Giving birth is one of the most significant events of your life. Sadly, the joy that you should feel can often be replaced with anxiety and helplessness instead. As a labor and delivery nurse, I'm revealing insider information to educate you, reassure you, and decrease your fear. In this podcast, you'll hear empowering birth stories and experts weigh in on a range of topics. Being Jewish also has me exploring Judaism's influence on the reproductive experience. However, I speak to anyone wishing to navigate their journey with more joy and confidence. I'm your host, Chani Fingerer, and you're listening to the Happy Birthway Podcast. This week's episode is a special feature due to the situation right now in Israel. And I have here Sarah Amar. She lives in Israel and has recently had her baby. Mazel tov, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Sarah, I'm just going to give you the stage. Just tell us what's going on and what your experience has been. When did you have your baby?
I had my baby last Tuesday.
Okay, mazel tov.
Thank you.
Boy or girl?
A girl.
Mazel tov. Okay, so I'm just going to give you the stage. Go ahead. Tell us what your experiences are right now.
Okay. I can start from my delivery. I had a pretty long delivery. We tried to have a natural birth, and in the end, I had to go to cesarean, but I was in the labor and delivery room for about almost 3 days. I lost track of time because it was so long.
Is this your first baby?
Yeah, it's my first baby.
Yeah, makes sense. With firsts, they're long. And you said you live in Kfar Chabad,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, I live in Kfar Chabad.
And what region is that in Israel?
It's the central Israel, like right next to the airport, right next to Tel Aviv, right next to everything.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So did you give birth in Tel Aviv?
So I gave birth in Shamir Medical Center, which is in Be'er Yaakov. It's like 2 minutes away from Kfar Chabad.
So you guys really have been hit hard, right?
Yeah. So I didn't know what was going on during my delivery. The days leading up to my delivery, there was a lot of tension in Israel. In general, there was a lot of terrorist attacks and rioting and stuff with the Arabs. So that, like, I knew that was going on, but once I went into the delivery room, they started having rockets and like shooting rockets and everything, and I had no idea what was going on. My husband and my mother didn't tell me anything because they didn't want me to be any more stressed than I already was. But then I had my baby on May 11th at 4:50. And that was the night that they started shooting rockets towards Tel Aviv. So I came out of my cesarean surgery right like maybe an hour before they started shooting rockets towards Tel Aviv, which is where I, like, the area that I was. So how it works is pretty much you have basically a hallway that has no windows. That's basically what's called like a shelter in places like hospitals and stuff. You don't really have, I mean, you have bomb shelters in the hospital, but you don't have enough time to get to them. So I came out of the surgery, I was still like on drugs. Like, I was all out. I was totally out of it. Like, my husband was with me. And all of a sudden, there was sirens, which is very rare to have sirens in central Israel. And they had to wheel me out in my bed because I couldn't get up. And you have a minute and a half in central Israel. So it was pretty scary. It wasn't very fun.
So they wheeled you out in a stretcher into the hallway that was enclosed with no windows. That was kind of like the makeshift bomb shelter because you don't have time to actually get downstairs or...
You don't have time to get to a bomb shelter, yeah.
Wow. So patients who couldn't move, were they all just wheeled out into the hallway?
So whoever... Well, there's limited staff, and because I just came out of a cesarean, they helped me. But after that, they told my husband, they're like... You're pretty much on your own. Like when there's a Tzev Adom, when there's a siren, you have to take her out yourself. Like we don't have enough people to help you wheel her out. So my husband had to take me out. Like throughout the night, there was, I would say, maybe 7 rockets in our area. That we had to go out of the room. So that was like my husband had to wheel me out on his own because there's not enough staff.
Oh my gosh, with your IV and with all the plugs and everything?
Yeah, they had to take out, he would have to take out my IV, like take it off of the hook and unplug the bed and move everything so that I get out. At one point, I just told him, I was like, just leave everything unplugged, give me my IV, I'll hold it, and that's it. Like, I'm not gonna keep on plugging it in and having to, unplug it every time.
Oh my gosh. And what about your baby?
So that was also one of the huge things. I was freaking out because I was still not 100% there. And I'm just like, where's the baby? Where's the baby? And my husband told me that she's in the nursery. And I was like, well, is the nursery safe? Like, is she okay? And they told us that it was pretty safe, but it's not a bomb shelter. So I didn't know that. At first, they told us that it was a bomb shelter. So I was like, okay, I'd rather leave the baby there and not have her with us. So at least she's safe, you know? Mm-hmm. Turns out the next day I went with my mom to see the baby, and I see that there's windows in the baby in the nursery. And I'm like, and I saw a lot of mothers were taking their babies out because they were saying that they're going to be shooting to central Israel again. And I was like, why is everybody taking their babies? Like, is something going on? So the nurse, she's like, yeah, this is not a bomb shelter. And I told my mom, I was like, take the baby right now. Like, we're taking her. We'll figure it out. I'll have to get out of bed myself so that my husband can take the baby to the bomb shelter, like to the hallway. That's the makeshift bomb shelter. It was crazy. And it was very long nights. It was the whole stay that I was in the hospital.
How many days did you stay in the hospital?
From recovery, I was in the hospital for, I would say, 3 days. I think it was 2 nights and 3 days.
Wow. You know, we like to get patients who had a C-section start ambulating, start walking as soon as possible. It's healthy. So what a way to get a patient who just had a C-section out of bed.
Yes, that definitely helped me recover way faster. My mom was like, at least, because my mom had 7 cesareans, so she's like, at least you are going to recover way faster than I ever did. I was like, yeah, it's one way to look at it.
You got to look at the good, right, of everything going on.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a baby, I call it mama bear syndrome, where mothers are already have this heightened sense of worry and anxiety over their baby just because that's your maternal instinct. And I just can't imagine the fear and the terror that on top of it, you know, knowing that, God forbid, not just you can be harmed, but now you have a newborn baby.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, the second they told me that it's not a safe place for the babies, like they have another hallway that's close to the nursery. They say, we drag as many babies as we can to the hallway, but there's just not enough time to get everybody all the time. That's why a lot of mothers were taking their babies to their rooms, because you can't trust that somebody's taking care of your baby. And the second they told me that, I started bawling. I was telling my mom, I was like, oh my God, if I knew, I would never have let her stay there. It was really frightening. It was really scary.
And also, what a way to get rooming in going, because in the States and in many other countries, they don't even have nurseries in some hospitals.
Yeah.
So I know Israel has a little bit of a different setup, but that's kind of all right, just default rooming in. When you were actually in the hospital, were you guys able to hear any booms? Because I know even if a rocket doesn't actually land, even if the Iron Dome intercepts it, you still hear the explosion. Is that correct?
Of course. Yes, of course. You hear all of the booms. You hear all the Iron Dome rockets being shot out. I come from Otef Gaza. My parents live 4 kilometers from Gaza. So I'm used to having 7 seconds to run to a shelter. So for me, having a minute and a half is like you can go make a coffee and then go to the shelter. Where I live now in central Israel, because it's farther away from Gaza, you have longer time to get to like a safe place, and you have the Iron Dome. Because we live right really close to the airport, there's a lot of Iron Domes in the area. I'm living here for like a year and a half since I got married, and there hasn't been any rockets since I lived here. Like, this was the first time I had rockets here, and I'm not used to hearing the Iron Dome, since I'm used to living so close that we don't even have an Iron Dome by us. Like, you just run to the bomb shelter.
Really?
Yeah, because we live 4 kilometers from Gaza. There's not even time for them to shoot rockets to intercept them.
Wow. So I don't think people are aware of that. I think people just assume that the Iron Dome intercepts it everywhere.
So some places it's too close, yeah.
So, and this is where you grew up?
No, I grew up. I'm from Florida. I moved to Israel in Tzuk Eitan, which is the last war. We made Aliyah, my family.
What year was that?
That was 2014. The last war that they had, we moved there. Originally, I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida. So I couldn't go to recover by my mother because of the situation there. Like, my parents are sleeping in the bomb shelter with my little brothers, my older brother, and my grandmother and my uncle. They're all sleeping in the bomb shelter.
Wow.
Not now, because there's the ceasefire now, but this yeah. whole time. So I couldn't have been there with the baby also, and I wouldn't have brought my baby there. It's too scary. Like, they have way more rockets than we do here. Also, they get rockets all the time.
Wow. So even in the hospital where you were, you still heard booms, and like, did you feel the hospital shake?
Yeah, you feel it. Yeah, definitely. You hear the rockets shooting. You hear the booms in the sky. There was actually one that it felt like it hit the hospital. It came from near the nursery. I heard like a huge boom, and I told my husband, I was like, after this, you're going to check to make sure the baby is okay, that everything is okay there, because I didn't know like I didn't even know it wasn't like a safe place for the baby. And I thought it definitely hit the hospital. It was so loud. But in the end, it turns out it didn't. It was just from the sky.
Wow. And so the plan was originally to go to your mom to recover.
Yeah.
But like you said, that was not possible because of what happened. So
yeah.
Did you feel safer in the hospital, or did you kind of want to really get out and go to your own place?
I think it really depends, because in the hospital, I was way less able to move because I was right after my surgery. In my in-laws' house, they don't have a bomb shelter either. They also have a room that has no windows or anything, and that's just where you go. I don't know. I was happy to leave the hospital, but at the same time, I was also nervous to go home, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was mixed feelings.
Yeah, it's like you don't know where you're going to be safer, at home or...
Yeah, I know exactly what you were saying. I don't know where is safer, if it's at home or in the hospital. It's pretty weird. Yeah.
So then what happened? Where did you end up going?
We are staying by my in-laws right now. I'm still there.
Where do they live?
In Kfar Chaba.
Oh, okay. So local to you. So
yeah.
You're able to get help from them.
So I didn't go home either, because I live in an apartment building and I couldn't have ran down the stairs to get to the bomb shelter downstairs when I was recovering. So we just decided to stay at my in-laws.
Right. Yeah, you can't do stairs after you had a C-section. You know, we really want to limit that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so the bomb shelters are typically in the bottom floor of a building, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Wow. So I'm glad that you had your in-laws to stay by. And do they have, like, a one floor... Like, what's their setup?
Yeah, they live on in a house, like, that's ground floor, so I didn't have to go up any stairs. I mean, they don't have a bomb shelter, but it's safer than running up and down the stairs with a newborn baby. It was the safest options.
Most residences are built with, like, a room with no windows, and that kind of serves as a bomb shelter, correct?
Yeah, that's, like, the safest you get if you don't live, like, really close to Gaza.
Wow. And how has it been since when you've gotten home? Like, just, I can't imagine just that heightened sense of anxiety of having having a baby, and then on top of that, coming home and not knowing, like, what's going to be.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, it felt like more responsibility once I left the hospital. It's not like the baby was in the nursery or something like that, that I felt like more, like, less sense of responsibility, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Once I left the hospital, it's like, okay, you're on your own, like...
You're really on your own.
Yeah. So that was nerve-wracking. I mean, we had a few over Shavuos and Matzei Shavuos.
Mm-hmm.
We also had. It's just, like, take the baby and cover her and hug her and just hope everything is going to be okay.
Yeah. And you've been hearing booms and everything throughout that time.
Less, only when they have rockets here. If they have rockets in, like, Ashdod, which is, they have more than we get, because they're closer, then we can hear the Iron Dome shooting rockets from here, from this area.
Oh, wow. But you feel it a little less than when you were in the hospital? Because I think the rockets were targeted, like, specifically toward Tel Aviv, which is very densely populated civilian area with, yeah. like, no army bases or anything like
yeah.
that. Right? And that's where it was primarily targeted toward. So you're kind of more of a, like, you know, spread out neighborhood in Kfar Chabad. Is that it?
They do it by areas, so because the hospital is so close to my house, it's considered, like, whenever we had a red alert, then Kfar Chabad had a red alert. It's the same area, it's considered the same area. I think what it was that when I was in the hospital, the situation was heightened, like, it was worse than when I got home. I think it calmed down a little bit and they stopped shooting so many rockets to this area.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad for you. And I'm so happy yeah. about the ceasefire. That came out yesterday, right? I worked a crazy shift yesterday and I was, like, in hospital land all day.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world. So when did the ceasefire happen?
So right now it's 5:30 p.m. on Friday and it happened at 2 a.m. last night.
Wow. Wow. So I hope you stay safe and I
yes.
hope you're able to, you know, from here on, really enjoy your baby, especially as a first time mom. Just
yes.
start to enjoy the beauty of it. And hopefully you'll be able to recover better, because hopefully you'll be a little bit less anxious and none of this will start up again. Is there kind of like this atmosphere of people are still worried and is the ceasefire going to be violated or, you know, things like that?
Yeah, there's a fear that the ceasefire is going to be violated. Definitely, they only send rockets towards central Israel when there's actually a big war or something that's going on, like they had now. But I know most definitely where my parents live, they're going to be getting, they are actually talking about it a lot now, how they're saying ceasefire, but the people that live so close to Gaza, like my parents, still will be getting randomly shot at and nobody really does anything about it. Only once it comes to Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, then people start caring and talking about it. So
oh really?
That's
wow.
Yeah, even though there's a ceasefire, definitely we still get rockets where my parents live. I think it was maybe 3 weeks before I had my baby, I was like, okay, this is the last Shabbos we're gonna come because it's a far ride, and I was worried I was gonna have the baby. So I and that Shabbos we actually had a red alert in the middle of the night and I had to run down the stairs and you have 7 seconds to get into the bomb shelter. So they definitely have rockets that are not, that like are random and they don't really do much about it because it's so close and it's not to like a big city like Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, which is
wow,
sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, the area that your parents live in and where you lived before you got married, is that like just an ongoing, continuous rockets being thrown in randomly with no official war, anything like that?
Yes. Yes. Randomly. Completely at random. It can be at any moment.
So since 2014, it's just been going on.
Yeah. You can have it randomly for sure.
And no one even knows about that.
Yeah, they don't really talk about it in the news or anything. They don't consider it as they, like, cross the agreement for the ceasefire.
It's not as much of a priority.
Yeah.
So since 2014, just at random, all of these years, how often would you say you'd get rockets when there wasn't an official war?
I would say, I mean, where my parents live specifically, you get once every few months, but... there it's like a big area it's a big area, so you get to all different places. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's so important for people to know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that, like, it's just a continuous thing. You hear when things really escalate.
Yeah.
Wow. Sarah, any other important things that we should know? Anything else that you want to tell us?
Now that you're saying that, nobody really knows that. I do know one Instagram account that they report every time there is any rockets, no matter where it is. I think it's called Stand With Israel, if I'm not mistaken.
Stand With Israel. I'm going to look them up, and if I find them, I will put it in the show notes.
They definitely always talk about it whenever something happens. Even if it's just one rocket, they always report on it.
Wow. And I know that there's an app that is in Israel.
Yeah.
And they alert you. And do they alert you for any zone, any area of Israel?
Yeah.
So I know that some people, even living in the States, they download it just because they want to have that feeling of, you know, standing with Israel and what Israel's going through and what truly is happening that the media is not reporting, right?
Yeah.
All right, Sarah, anything else?
That's pretty much it. Thank you so much for talking about this situation, because it definitely needs some more people to cover on it, because it's so important. I'm really happy that I was able to talk about it.
Yes, and I'm sorry that you had to go through like the worst of it just when you were giving birth. I'm so happy you're okay and everyone is okay by you.
Yes, thank God.
And like I said again, I just hope that you enjoy the rest of motherhood from, you know, here on. It's hard right now. You have my support. It is a lot recovering from surgery.
Yes.
So take care of yourself.
Thank you.
And your well-being and your brand new baby. What's her name?
Ella Rina.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mazal tov.
Thank you so much.
And so hectic with a brand new baby. So I appreciate it tremendously.
For sure.
All right, Sarah. Take care. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Thanks for tuning into the Happy Birthway podcast. Head over to Yoledet Academy on Instagram to continue the conversation. You'll find the link in the episode show notes, as well as links to any additional resources, products, and services mentioned here. If you love listening to this show, you can help it grow by sharing it with your friends and rating and reviewing it. To stay in the loop when new episodes are released, make sure to subscribe. Remember that your health needs are unique and require individualized medical advice. The podcast is not a replacement, and some of the information may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances. My mission is to educate you so that you can confidently collaborate with your healthcare team. I believe that a healthy mom and healthy baby are simply not enough. We also need a happy mom with an empowering birth experience.